55 years is a good long time. That's how long the Evangel Home of Fresno has been ministering to women and children in crisis. Welcome to Heartline. This is the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home, where your host is Jim Tuck.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you. We are in Jerry Brenneman's office, and it's a Tuesday morning, as we usually do, but occasionally we find another time to record for one reason or another. Jerry, we've already had some significant conversation off mic, just reminiscences of some Facebook comments you made about a former resident here and a brief conversation with our guest. At any rate, we want to move ahead. Introduce our guest, and let's find out about her.
Well, our guest is wearing the same color I am today. That's the way I chose her. No. Our guest is Teresa.
It's like raspberry sherbet.
Yes, and I just realized that's not a real common shade of pink, and we're both wearing it, Teresa. All right. The woman that I had originally wanted to be on the show, I couldn't find right now, someone who just moved next door into Crossroads. So I was standing out in our dining room, and there were a number of women out there, because it is before Christmas. We have tons of gifts and donations that are being brought in. They're all out helping bring things in. They're all turning in many, many directions. And I saw Teresa.
She almost
ran me over in the back. Yeah, literally. And I said, hey, in honor of almost running me over, payback is you get to be on the radio. Not quite. But anyway, she was ready. Teresa has been here before in the crisis home 2 years ago. And she can tell her story about what brought her here then, why she's here now, and what her plans are, because you get to come to the crisis home three times in life, period. After that, it's like, what good are we doing you? And we really, the people that call to come in the second time, we ask much tougher questions than we do the first time. Because if they're doing the same thing they were when they first came in, then we're just a little stop in the revolving door of shelters, and it helps them for a couple of days, but then so what? And if there are women knocking on this door for the first time that haven't had a chance, that's going to be our priority at that time. So Teresa had to convince us that she wasn't in the same place she was 2 years ago and that things are going to be different this time. And so here we are.
All right, Teresa, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And got a bubbly personality and a lot of chuckles today. 2 years and 6 months ago, what were you doing?
I was here at the Evangel Home.
I should have been before you got here, if I've understood correctly. What brought you here?
I was getting married then, but now I plan on marrying the Lord. And just getting structure in my life, this is the greatest place for me, to get structure in my life and get me back on the road to where I'm supposed to be at.
So you were homeless the first time? You had no place else to stay? Why Evangel Home?
Because it's God oriented.
Mm-hmm. What brought you here, though? Maybe you didn't know that, but you knew enough to come here.
Oh, the phone book did. Okay. So I believe it's God that guided me here.
Okay. What led to your living situation? I mean, there was crisis in your life. I mean, you weren't at the top of the corporate ladder.
Oh, yes. My mom passed away with lung cancer in the year 2000, and my sister passed away in the year 2006 with lung cancer also. And I took care of both of them till their ending days. So that was a lot of my whole drinking problem.
Okay, so you did have a substance abuse issue.
Yes, I did.
And you said you were planning to get married the first time you came in.
I did.
So you were drinking.
No, I was clean. Okay. When I left here the last time, I was clean for a whole year, and then
when you came in the last time. Is that when you were planning to get married? I'm just
yes.
trying. Okay,
yes.
So you guys were living homeless.
I was homeless.
Okay.
Last time I came. And then when I left, pressure. Then when I left, I planned on getting married, and it just didn't happen. It wasn't God's will, so I just decided not to get married. And
so what's been going on in your world for the last 2 years?
My children. My son came back from Oklahoma. He turned 18, now he's 19. And I've pretty much been focused on him.
Have you been working?
Yes, I have been working. Yes, I have. I had a couple jobs. I was a home care provider and an in-home support service provider. And both of those jobs, you know, the mother quit her job. I worked there for 8 months, and then the other one I worked for 3 months.
And did you go back into alcohol?
I did. I did backslide. I did.
And when was that?
Just a few months ago. Yeah.
And how long have you been dry?
I've been clean since the day before I came in.
How long have you been here this time?
I've been here for a little over a week.
What kind of questions did you ask, Jerry?
Well, when they come in the second time, the person on duty asks basically what is the difference in their situation. They would have asked about, you know, how clean are you? You have to be clean 2 weeks before you come in. Now, I don't know, and don't worry, Teresa, I'm not going to now tell you you have to leave because you were drinking a day before you came in. We probably knew that. Anybody that says... Okay, so she was honest when she came in to some extent, and we put her on restriction, figuring if she had the drinking problem and wasn't dry, that there was going to be some sort of withdrawal, some sort of need to have another drink. And so we kept her in here. And that's when it's kind of funny because Joe Janelle, who Teresa just loves, Joe Janelle is our morning staff person, had come to me and said, ooh, we've got some attitude problems this time. But then Joe Janelle would always say, but maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm approaching her different or something. And I really appreciated that about any of our staff members that can say, this resident is just getting on my nerves, but maybe it's me. Maybe I'm getting on her nerves. Yeah. That, I think, is maturity, Jim. And that is, to me, that is the most incredibly freeing thing in my own life, when sometimes I can say, oops, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
Whoa, that felt good. And I was wrong this time, too. But we are so prideful, I think, and we don't want to be wrong as people. And so we don't admit we're wrong. We make it the other guy. We make it the situation. And I think, darn it, people, Jesus died because we were wrong. Let's not hide it. So to be able to go to another person and say, I was wrong. And that's where Janelle was. Now, I don't know if she did that, Teresa. Tell me how that bridge, how you guys walked back over it.
Well, a little friend of mine told me a little something, and I just addressed it as quick as possible, immediately, because I didn't want that kind of ugliness. So I addressed it really fast.
Okay, so a little friend of yours. I feel like we're in code. We don't have to be in code. You're okay. Just talk. Someone in here told you there was a problem.
Yes.
I wish it was TV right now, because her eyes are going so fast trying to figure out how I'm going to explain this one. So someone in here told you there was a problem with Joe Janelle.
Yes. And you went. Yes. And I'm going to address it as soon as possible.
As quick as possible.
And how did you do that? I told her that I apologized for any disrespecting her, and that I didn't mean anything towards her if she felt that way.
And she was good with that?
Oh, yeah, she was good with that. She said, oh, thank you. We hugged each other, and it was all good.
Oh, good. Well, that doesn't surprise me, knowing Jo Janelle. She is just like my little sister. I appreciate her a lot. Okay, you're here for the second time. What's different, Teresa? What's going to keep there from being a need for a third time?
Well, I'm hoping to get into a program, you know, just so that I'm more structured there. That's what I'm going to wait for right now, is God's going to provide me with a program to where I can get, because I only was here for 28 days the first time, and I was clean for over a year. So I believe that if I have a little bit more structure with that, that I could be clean, I could just make it over that hump, that I'll be good. Then I won't need to go back anymore.
What's the situation with your kids?
My son is 19 and my daughter's 13, and she's in Oklahoma. And I'm talking with my daughter, but my son came out here when he was, you know, but he came out the first time when he was 18, which I should have been ready for him, but I wasn't. And he's with my niece right now. He lives there until I go through this program and do what I need to do to make myself stable to be able to be with him.
So you're comfortable with their living situations for the time being?
For the time being, yes.
Okay.
How long do the kids live with you?
12 years. 12 years, yes. I had them the first 12 years of their life. And then my son went with his dad. And then he came out and got my daughter when she was 12.
And is the dad okay?
Yes. Okay. He's a great dad.
Okay. That is good to hear.
He's remarried. He has a new wife, and they have another child. But I couldn't have been blessed with a better dad. But all the way in Oklahoma is pretty far away. So for 6 years, I didn't see my son at all because I couldn't afford to go back there. And he couldn't afford to come here.
Yeah, that's hard.
Are you strong enough now, though, to know that your daughter has been with her dad for this many years,
yes,
that might, in fact, be best for her?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
That's a true mother's love, that she can do that. I really respect that.
So you're more interested in her well-being and her welfare than with your maternal needs.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, sometimes the price to be paid for bad decisions is harsh and very difficult.
Jim, I remember being probably, I don't know, maybe junior high, high school. I remember a Sunday school teacher, for some reason, you know, there's things that are just frozen in your mind, and with time sometimes I wonder, did it really happen, or did I sort of embellish that as we've gone along? But I remember it was a Sunday school retreat. We were somewhere in the mountains, and we were having a class, I think, on just different problems, whatever came up, but alcohol came up. So I figure I'm 14, 15, 16 then. And I remember the teacher saying, "You with alcohol, you really should never drink, because lots of times alcoholics don't know they're alcoholics, and one drink just sends them over." And I remember at the time thinking, well, that's certainly an old fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned way of things. I think I want to drink anyway. And I didn't. You know, I was one of those people that I was very blessed with a good upbringing, but then I was very blessed with a stubborn personality that never wanted to do what was popular at the time. So I don't think I ever touched alcohol till I was in college, and then, well, I better try that now. And I never got into the drug scene because I was so allergic to prescription drugs, and I thought, ooh, I don't want to do that. So I always managed to avoid all of that. But I've often thought how dangerous that first drink really is, but how impossible, it almost is almost impossible in this day and age to not take one, just because it's there all the time. And so that's just sort of my little soapbox for the day.
You were 30 before you had your first drink?
Yes. I was 30 before, because my dad was an alcoholic. So I was really, yeah.
Drip thought in your mind.
Yeah, trying to avoid it, and then just like did it.
And
I don't drink. I never drank to get drunk. I just drank just to take the edge off, I think.
Yeah.
I never drank to where I was falling down or getting sick or any of that.
But you drank to a point you couldn't not drink.
No, I could not drink. I just chose to drink, honestly.
Well, we're out of time. But Teresa, thank you. And glad you chose Evangel Home, and that it works out that you're back here, and
yeah,
we're gonna
have a follow-up conversation.
Maybe we'll plan to have a follow-up conversation at some point. That would be a delight. And we look forward to our next recording adventure on Heartline here from Evangel Home of Fresno.
Thank you for tuning in this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. Reach the Evangel Home by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714, round the clock online, evangelhome.org. Bless you. Thanks for tuning in this week's edition of Heartline, the RV, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.